each one of you as you depart here today and go your separate ways. Today's Mother's Day, and I want to wish all the mothers a very happy and a very prosperous day. I want to thank them for being our mothers. I want to thank them for being there when many times there was no one else there, for understanding when so often many did not understand. I want to thank them for feeling the pain that sometimes we feel and yet no one else seems to know. You know, has your mother ever believed in you when no one else did? You know, we talk about the cup being half full or half empty, but regardless of how many times that we stumble in life, so often our mothers encourage us and give us the hope that we need to continue on our way. And we certainly know that we have stumbled many times in our life. So if you haven't thanked your mother and your mother's still with us today, or even if your mother has passed from this life, you can always give God thanks for a godly mother, one who instructed you and helped you along your way as you made your journey here in this life. I ask for your prayers this morning that the Lord would continue to bless and that He would uphold us. Bless, pray for one another. Pray for me if you would. And you know, today's a bittersweet day. Most of you know that on this day, many years ago, you know, things befell me that forever changed my life. And I'm not here seeking sympathy, but to understand the Lord is good. He is. He's good. We're told in the 100 Psalms, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. You know, we've all suffered those afflictions in our life. We've all had things befall us in our life. But God is good. And one of the greatest goodnesses He's ever bestowed upon each and every one of us is our mothers. During my trials and my afflictions, my mother was always there. You know, there was a time in my life I wasn't very emotional, but you know, the Lord has a way of changing that. I can't say enough for the blessing of my mother. It has been in my life. When I hurt, she hurt. But God is good. He gave me grace. You know, 16 years later, I stand before you so blessed that I don't know what to say. And I owe a lot of it to my mom, who God blessed me to have in my life. As many of you know, before the Lord blessed Suzanne to come into my life, my mother lived with me a couple of years. She became a mother to my son. And I'll never forget that. I'll never stop thanking God for the blessing He gave me in my life. But you know, Paul said, and we're not to look back. We're to look forward. And by God's grace, that's what I've done. I don't have many of these moments in my life, but I occasionally have one now and then. And as I begin to think about this day, that's exactly what come up on my mind. You know, I don't know that there's a sermon in the Bible that particularly is directed at mothers, but I know that my mother and your mother and every mother that we have and our mothers that are in Israel, which the Bible tells us in Judges 5 and 7, there was a woman named Deborah, and she was given the name of a mother in Israel. We have many mothers in Israel. We have many blessings in our life. A mother is someone who cares for us, has tenderness toward us, and loves us, I believe, unconditionally. Now, we know that there's no love that is perfect like the love of Jesus Christ. But I believe in our mothers, the Lord our God, give us a small glimpse and a little picture of what His unconditional love for His people were. You know, mothers are more tender-hearted oftentimes than fathers. That doesn't mean our fathers are not important. They don't have a place in our life. But our mothers are extremely important. As I was thinking about this subject, I began to think about the days set aside in this country that we call holidays. You know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day. There are many people in the world that are opposed to those holidays. Many of them are opposed to those holidays because those days can be directed back to the Bible and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those that are opposed to the Lord and His anointed are those who are opposed to that day, to those days. Now, you know, some people, even amongst God's people, do not celebrate Christmas. Some of them have a hard time with Thanksgiving and other holidays because of the commercialism that has taken place in the world. But I tell you, if you begin to understand the intention of those days that's been set aside in America, I think you'll find they was directly tied to the Bible. You know, we're told about Christmas, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know, there is no broader subject, I believe, in the entire Bible than the doctrine of giving, the teaching of giving. And God gave His best. Now, I know that things have changed over time and commercialism has had its toll upon our thoughts of some of these holidays, but that should not detract us from doing what is right. You know, we can celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift that our Father gave us in Him anytime, not only at Christmas. Thanksgiving is another day, the fourth Thursday generally in November. Think about Thanksgiving. The Bible tells us here we were to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful unto Him. You know, I believe the Bible teaches us to be thankful every day. Now, I believe we're to give special thanks and to be with our families, but we well know that commercialism has overtaken Thanksgiving. It's close to Black Friday. It's become a commercialized event, and a lot of people don't want to take any part in it. But I tell you, the Bible teaches us to be thankful every day. Be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We should be thankful every day. We're told in Colossians 3 and 15 to let the peace of God rule your hearts, for the which we're all called in one body, and be ye thankful. Being thankful is a commandment. It's not an option. You know, I've told people as I've preached the last few months, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart. If you're not happy, it's because you're not thankful. So many people will put on a smile on their face, and then they walk around their entirety of the next week complaining about everything that they cross, everything in their life, everything from the workplace to the home and everybody they encounter. They gripe, complain, and they moan. Tells me they're not thankful. And you'll find ultimately those people that are not thankful are not happy. If you want to be happy, you've got to be thankful, and you've got to be satisfied with the position God has put you in. So thankfulness is something that we're commanded to do, but it's something that we ought to do. God is good. He's been so good to us. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Now, when we think about the goodness of God, we look back at 2 days that I want to consider. The second Sunday in May is Mother's Day. That's today. The time when we set aside in America to honor our mothers. You know, every one of us in here have 2 things in common, don't we? First of all, we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But all of us have a biological mother. In other words, there's some woman who brought us forth into this world that we live in now. That doesn't necessarily make them a mother, but we all have a biological mother. Someone gave birth to us and we were born and now we live here in this world. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The first verse of chapter 6. For this is right, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. See, we can tie Mother's Day and Father's Day to the Bible. Now, I'll grant you the Lord commanded us in one of the Ten Commandments to honor thy father and thy mother. I don't believe we're to just take one day out of the year to honor our mothers or our fathers. I believe today is a day that we got to give special attention to our mothers, special thanks to our mothers. But we ought to thank God and we ought to thank our mothers every day that we live for the goodness that they've granted us in our life. Not only did they care for us, they were there when no one else would be. They took care of us when we were down and out. And I know there's many in this congregation who's had trials and afflictions just as I've had and had the blessing of their mother in their life. You know, there's no amount of money in this world that can replace what a good, loving, and godly mother will do for you in your life. If you have one, I encourage you to give thanks for her every day and night that you live. Because she has more to do with who you are and what you've become than anyone else, I believe, upon the earth. Thank Jesus. Thank the Lord for your godly mother. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I want to make a few comments on that first verse. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you want to honor your father and mother, and I especially speak to those who are 25 and under, obey your parents, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, this is right. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about every generation of young people that's ever existed, my generation, the generation of young folks that are living now. How often have you heard the young people say, well, mom and dad, they just do not possibly have a clue. They do not understand what's going on in my life. They're out of touch. They're out of time. They're out of date. On and on goes this story. They could not possibly know what's going on in my life, and if they did, they wouldn't have any understanding to how it is. This is nothing new. Solomon teaches us a few lessons that we ought to take to heart. First of all, he says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's something that I believe the Lord directs us as parents to do. But do you know that oftentimes we as adults have foolishness bound in our hearts? And I'll tell you right now, the Lord's rod of correction can drive it far from your heart. The Lord deals with us just as he commands us to deal with our own children. And I'll tell you right now, this foolishness that's bound in the heart of children has been bound in the heart of children throughout all the ages. It's not something new that just came on the scene today. It's nothing new. But I'll assure you that you probably had thoughts, if you didn't tell your parents, you just don't understand what's going on in the world that I live in today. You're old, you're fogey, you're out of touch, you're out of time, you're out of date. It's just no way you can realize what's happening in my life. But I think about that wise man Solomon and some of his words. He tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 9, he says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. I know that the young people today are sitting there saying, us old folks, and I'm in that category, at least according to them. I'll assure you, I'm in that category according to them. And most of you are out there. If that surprises you, I want to let you know. You don't understand what your children are going through. You don't have a clue to the world that they live in. But Solomon here says there's nothing new under the sun. You know, could it be that we adults, when we were children, had foolishness bound in our heart and we went our own way doing our own thing and thought our parents had no clue as to what life was all about then? This is something that has gone over and over throughout the ages. You know, I was a hard child, I'm sure, to deal with. And I'm sure my sister back there will smile. I'm sure that's what my mother thought until my brothers and sisters came along. So that gave me some reprieve. But anyway, foolishness is bound in the heart of many children, and unfortunately, many adults. And the rod of correction will drive it from us, whether it be our own children, natural children, or whether we be childish and foolish as adults. And God takes the rod of correction. He can drive that foolishness far from us. He goes on here and he says, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? This is a question that Solomon raised. You see, when young folks tell us today that we don't have a clue as to what's going on in the world that we live in, that their generation has something out there that has just passed us by, Solomon says there's nothing that can be said is new. What's being done has already been done, and what's being done today shall be done in the future. There's nothing new. That's the ideas that these young folks have in their head, ideas that we, when we were young, probably had in our heads, no different. But Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. It hath been already of old time which was before us. So when you think something is new as a youngster, think again. When the Lord said, or Apostle Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's all we need, isn't it? He didn't say, I'm going to give you a 2-page or a 5-page or a 10-page explanation as to why you ought to do this. It's pretty simple and plain right there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. If you want to honor your mother today, young folks, and tomorrow and every day that you live, obey your parents in the Lord. Because the Lord says this is right. You don't need a 5-page explanation as to why it's right. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Whether you understand it, whether you like it, or it fits your bill of goods that day, God is right. He's just. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In doing so, you bring great honor not only to your mother and to your father, but unto God Almighty himself. If you really want to glorify your Father which art in heaven, begin by obeying your parents in the Lord. And we who have grown older and became adults, I tell you right now, I would encourage you to take the wise instruction of your mother and your father. They're walking a path, or we're walking a path that they've already walked down. Solomon said in his great wise counsel, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So often foolishness is bound in the heart of the child of God. But if we want to honor God, and you want to honor your mother today and tomorrow and every day, you see, the Ten Commandments are commandments that I believe we're to keep every day, not just on these holidays that's been set aside, but every day that we live, we ought to try to do the best we can to honor the commandments that God has given us. He commanded us to be thankful. He commanded us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Today's Mother's Day. And if you hadn't honored your mother, if you hadn't told her how thankful you are for her, what a blessing she is in your life, I encourage you to do so. And if you do that today, I encourage you not to wait till the second Sunday in May of 2014 to tell her that again. That's how beneficial and that's how great a blessing your mom has been to you in your life. I know. And as I've gotten older, I've found that there are many mothers in Israel, those who have care for others. You know, as I stated a while ago, and I'm going to give you a definition, we call mothers those who bring forth children into the world. They're given the description or the title of a mother. But a mother, by definition, is a title or a designation given to a woman who exercises care and tenderness toward another. You know, there are mothers who forsake their children and don't care about them. I don't believe there's many of them in this congregation, and not many that I know, that don't have a special love for their own children. But when we begin to understand this, as Brother Randall prayed this morning, it's possible that our mothers and fathers might forsake us, but the Lord will take us up. Be thankful if you have a mother who has not forsaken you, who has always been there by your side. But realize this, you don't have to be the biological mother of a child to be a mother to that child. There's more to it than giving birth. It's raising the child, training the child, being there when the child needs you. And that's what I have to be so thankful for. And I believe many of us in this congregation can say the same thing. Today is the day that we honor our mothers. And may God richly bless our mothers as they continue their journey in this life. There are many of our mothers who may have passed on and are with the Lord today. But the memories of our mothers and what they've done for us in our life will never be forgotten. You know, there are things that perish in this world, I'll assure you. But there are blessings that God give us that we'll have until the Lord carries us home to be with Him. No one can take those riches away from you. And so often we don't tell those that we love how much we love them and how much we care about them. I encourage you to do so today. If you love your mother, and I believe you do, if she's been a great inspiration in your life, if she's been there for you, let her know. Encourage her. You know, when we think about not having to give birth to a child, I think about Brother Gus and Sister Betty Jo. Most of you know they have 5 biological children. They have 24 adopted children. And they have children in the Philippines right now in Beauty for Ashes that they love like their own kids. You know, when they begin to adopt these children, and I did talk to Brother Gus before I decided to speak on this or mention it, but, you know, it caused some issues with his own blood children after adopting all these kids. But I have witnessed a man and a woman, and especially Betty Jo, who loves these kids as much as she loves her own blood-born kids. I know that's a fact. I've seen it. You know, it gives us a picture of the perfect love of Jesus Christ. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He loved us while we were enemies. We didn't love Him. We didn't want anything to do with Him. And He loved us. Didn't matter where we were out there, He's loved us with an everlasting love. I think about the story that she told me, and many of you here, or a number of you may have heard this story, but I want to mention it again. 3 or 4 years before her and Brother Gus went to the Philippines, Betty Jo began to wake up in the night from a dream. And in this dream, she would wake Brother Gus up and ask him, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" And he said, "No, honey, I didn't hear anything." She said, "Did you hear the little girl crying, Mommy?" This went on for a good while, and after they moved to the Philippines, it continued to occur. She would wake up and say, "Honey, did you hear that little girl calling for her mom? Calling for Mommy?" Brother Gus said, "No, I didn't hear a thing." Anyway, as they began to labor in the Philippines, Brother Gus was preaching and building churches. Betty Jo had a desire to find a work of mercy to do. She was with other folks, and one day they went to a house to where an American missionary was. This was a man from California. He was once a hippie. He was a drug addict. He had gotten over the drugs and the problems he had, and he decided to go to the Philippines and help with these children. Sister Betty Jo went up to the door of this house, and she knocked on the door, and the man came to the house, and Sister Betty Jo said, "I'm here to help." And he looked at her kind of stunned and gazed at her and said, "No one's ever come to my house and knocked on my door and said they wanted to help. I think he didn't exactly believer, but anyway, he invited her on in and those that was with her, and there were about 20 children, I believe, was the number around there, and he brought them on in, and here in a minute, he said, well, there is this one little girl that you might be able to help me with. Said her mother died several months ago, and she's not spoken since. Anyway, brought the children in, and this little girl, she's with them today. Her name is Angel. She got up in her lap, said, Mommy. First word she spoke. Betty Jo said, I've been looking for you for a long time. Now, if you don't thank God's providential hands in our lives today, we need to thank again. This little girl, his name is Angel. She's with them right now. She lives in Georgia. But she had not spoken for 3 months. You know, you don't have to bear children in this world to love them. You know, the Lord loves us. We've been adopted into his family, hadn't we? We've been adopted into the family of God. I want to read a poem, and I know I've been kind of scattered this morning. It's a Mother's Day poem. It says, a mother's love is something that no one can explain. It's made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. You know, there's a great amount of truth in that. The sacrifice that your mother made, the pain that she went through, cleaning your dirty diapers and putting up with you when you were not very nice to put up with, she put up with you. She went to great lengths to raise you, to train you, to do all the necessary things to bring you to the point you're at today. It is an endless and unselfish and an enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. You know, the thing that amazes me about a mother's love for children, no matter how far off the beaten path you and I may get and how many mistakes that we may make, they never forsake us. They always look at the best and they always have hope. A lot of times no one else has any hope, but I'll assure you, your mother will have hope for you. She'll encourage you. This love is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaken. You know, this is what a picture of true love. A mother can forgive when many others cannot forgive, even fathers at times. And it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. You may break your mother's heart time and time again by your actions and by the things you in the way you lived your life. But your mother's love will never fail. She'll never stop loving you. You know, when we sin against the Lord, our God, he doesn't love us any less. He may exercise chastisement, loving chastisement on us, but he doesn't love us any less. A mother doesn't love their children any less, even when her heart may be broken by them. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns. When nobody else gives you a chance. Nobody else thinks you can make it. And you know, I've been there. I know when children do certain things or when I've done certain things, you think, well, there's no hope for that young man, young lady, that fella. But a mother oftentimes never loses her hope for the child that she loves. And it glows with all beauty of the rarest and brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defiles all explanation. And it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender, guiding hand. You know, you can see the hand of God in your life by just looking at your mother. If she loves you and she's cared for you, she's raised you the best that she knows how, you have a great witness of God's hand in your life. Give thanks to God for that. Bless him. Remember that every day that you live. Be one of the greatest blessings that you'll ever have upon this earth is the blessing of your mother. Speaking again of that tender, loving care and not having to be a biological mother, I think about reading the story of Naomi and Ruth in the book of Ruth. You know, Naomi and Ruth come together because of the marriage of her sons. We know that there was a great famine in the land of Judah. And Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, and their sons sojourned into the land of Moab. Elimelech died there, Naomi's husband. Her two sons married two of the women, or young ladies from Moab. They dwell there about 10 years and the sons died. Naomi changed her name to Mara, meaning bitterness. She had bitterness of soul. There's so many lessons in this book, but I want to look at the picture of a love here that a mother-in-law had for her daughter-in-law that was just as great as any love that a mother had for her own blood-given daughter. She told the two daughters after her sons had died that the Lord had blessed them again in the land of Judah, and she was going to return to her homeland and to her kinfolks. And she told these two young ladies, Ruth and Orpah, to go home to their mothers and to their gods. They wept bitterly. You can see that Naomi had a great influence in the life of these two young women. They were Gentiles. They were not Jews. She had a great influence in their life. I'll tell you what. You can have a great influence, mothers, in the lives of children that are not your own biological children. You really can. You can have an impression, a great influence, and a great encouragement in the lives of those people. Betty Jo Harder is an example. I mean, it's just not hardly a child that she'll not turn down because the love that God has placed in her heart pours out for these children. And we can take a lesson from that too, as husbands and as fathers, to show that love. The sister Orpah, she went back to her mother's house, but Ruth clave to Naomi. She loved her. She had been a mother to her. And she says in verse 16, "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee, for where thou goest I will go, and where thou lodgest I will lodge." I believe that Ruth had a work of grace performed in her heart by the Lord God Almighty. She come to believe and love the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. She said, "I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." She went back to the homeland with Naomi, and she took care of her. Naomi couldn't understand this. She said, "I'm too old to have more children, and even if I could immediately, it would be too many years before the child was old enough to marry you." She went back and she lived with Naomi, and she went out and gleaned the fields. And there are many other stories to be preached out of this, but the story of the love that these two had for one another, Naomi not being the biological mother of Ruth, yet the love there was just as genuine as any love you'll find between a mother and a daughter in all the Bible. It's something that we need to think about. The love of our mothers is as close to unconditional love as we'll ever know upon this earth. And as I close this morning, I want to encourage you. If you've not told your mother how much you love her and how much you care for her, do it today, but don't wait another year to let her know how special she is to you in your life. How you wouldn't be who you are today without her help, without her being there. When you stumbled, she was here to lift you up and to encourage you and to help you along your way. Mothers are very special, and today's a very special day. And it is my prayer and hope that God will bless each and every one of you. And for those mothers who are not yet mothers but hope to be, young ladies, may God bless you in your journey as you go forward in life. May God bless you to be the mother that Naomi was, the mother that many you know in this congregation are, that you may be a godly mother honoring the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of your lives. I thank you for your attention this morning. I hope I hadn't been too terribly scattered. We're going to publish an open door to the church. We're going to sing a song. You got one, Brother Randall? We're going to start with 154, Amazing Grace. And as I said, we publish an open door to the church. You come forward at this time, and the church.